Let's bring in TSN Hockey Insider Darren Dreger. Dregs, how's it going on this fine Wednesday morning?
Yeah, it's going well, thanks. How are you guys?
We're good.
Doing good, Dregs.
Good week. Finally, Leafs hockey back. Whenever there's not Leafs hockey, why does it feel like it's been a million years since the Leafs have played? That's not accurate at all.
Yeah. Well, especially when you do Leafs lunch 5 days a week, so it gets a bit challenging, right? You're just trying to grind it out every day, and you don't have games to respond to. But when you're actually doing the games, I enjoy doing the panels of Toronto Maple Leaf games, but it's a nice reprieve when you are able to go a few days or even 5 days through the course of the week without having to stay in studio until 10:30 at night. So I'm enjoying it on this U.S. Thanksgiving week.
Yeah, and I mean, the Leafs, they're playing well, too. They're giving us some good hockey to watch. Winners of 11 of their last 13. Most notably, though, it's been their defensive play, and they've been able to play well in close, tight games. Dregs, would you say that this is kind of the best that the Leafs have ever looked under Sheldon Keefe?
Yes, but I think we need to dissect that a little bit. You know, I think defensively speaking, how well they played, the goaltending of Jack Campbell and of late, you know, Joe Woll and the limited role that he's played with Peter Mrazek on the shelf has been outstanding. So the goaltending has been good. The defense, not just the blue line, but the defensive play of the Toronto Maple Leafs, I think for the most part, has been consistent. Yeah, you have blips, right? You know, they get shut out by the Penguins. That left a bit of a mark, but then they respond right after that. And, you know, even though we in the media like to drag out the negatives, and, you know, you look at Austin Matthews and the fact he's not scoring 5-on-5 and all of that, that does have to be weighed into the equation. So when you've got offensive players who aren't doing what they're accustomed to doing, what we as a fan base are used to them doing, well, that has to measure against the defensive play. So I think that there are pieces of the Toronto Maple Leafs team game that are as good as we've seen or the best we've seen under the leadership of Sheldon Keefe. But he would argue, and I think we can all agree, there's room to grow from all sides. They can be better.
Yeah, I mean, my only counter to that would be I would be more worried about the offense if the chances weren't there, if they were getting the opportunities. Yeah. And even Austin yesterday at Morning Skate was saying, I feel like I'm about to score, that where the chances are coming. I feel like I'm about to do it. And the Leafs may just be scratching the surface of what they could be here.
Yeah, and look, I'm not one who buys in too deeply into, you know, the even strength lack of production from Austin Matthews. As I talked about last night on SportsCenter and That's Hockey, I mean, if you look at the last three seasons, Austin Matthews and Alex Ovechkin are head-to-head in even strength goals at 94 in leading the National Hockey League. So this is a blip. And because of his opportunities, he's going to get his share and then some of the even strength goals. I don't think that that's a problem. He's not worrying about it. He has to answer the questions about it, talk about it. And look, I think that we're reminded that, you know, Zach Hyman isn't on that line anymore. And they continue to more or less audition and roll guys through on that left side. And I like the look of Mike Bunting. Can he stay there for an extended period? I guess as long as he continues to play the way he's playing, why not, right? Because you're looking at the other aspects of the Maple Leafs top six, top nine, and it looks pretty good. So there's always areas that can be improved on. You're right, Mike. The chances are there. But for me, based on everything we've just talked about, I like the fact that it doesn't appear like this group is going to wallow a whole bunch. And so when you take it on the chin like they did against the Penguins, how do you respond from that? And we saw how positively they responded. So the next measure is against some tough Western Conference teams, including the Los Angeles Kings tonight. You know, let's see if they can turn consistent play into a bit of a streak here, because there's a room to grow in their division. It looks like the top three are basically established at this point in the regular season, but Toronto is obviously gunning for a loftier spot.
We've got TSN Hockey Insider Darren Dreger on the phone right now on Leafs Lunch. Dregs, you just mentioned that California road trip, Kings tonight, Sharks Friday, Ducks Sunday. Did I get that right?
Sunday night.
Nice. Yep. First Western swing in a while since right before the pandemic was the last time they did this California road trip. What would you consider a successful trip out west for the Leafs?
Well, considering that Anaheim is playing really good of late, you know, probably 2 of 3. And I think that that's fair. I think that you have to respect your opponent. Los Angeles Kings aren't a pushover. You know, they're formidable. But Anaheim just seems to be more the talk of the town when you look at that conference and you look at the California swing. And I guess I'm looking beyond the San Jose Sharks. They're not just going to hand the points over to the Toronto Maple Leafs. But based on the way the Leafs have played, I think that they're comfortably in position to win two of the three.
Dregs, before you came on, we were chatting a little bit about Kyle Clifford, who was recently brought up to the Maple Leafs yesterday, skating as an extra. But, you know, ahead of tonight's game, we know that in the past, Sheldon Keefe has kind of been a player coach where he's allowed guys to play in their hometown or allowed guys to play against their former team. Do you think that there's a potential that he could play tonight or at least at some point in this road trip? And if he does, what can he bring to the team?
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously a chance, and they've called him up for a reason. You know, maybe they've got a player or a couple of guys who are banged up a little bit that are somewhat sketchy, that they think are going to be good to go, but they're not entirely sure. And if they're healthy across the board, you know, then you look at the bigger, stronger teams. You know, Los Angeles is not a pushover, nor is San Jose, and the Anaheim Ducks can play just about any game you want. So, you know, sometimes having a little bit extra experience is helpful. And Kyle Clifford plays the game a very specific way. He certainly adds that layer of physicality and grit, which you need at certain times of the year. So I wouldn't be surprised if he plays. As I heard you guys talking about coming in as a segment, looks like he was wearing the extra jersey sweater today. But that's not always a clear indication. I'd be surprised if Sheldon shakes up his lineup after coming off an impressive game. But you never know, unless, like I said, there's a reason to because of health. But beyond the game against the Los Angeles Kings and the motivation that Clifford may have playing against his former team, again, based on type of play, I wouldn't be surprised if Clifford does get some time in this road swing.
Dregs, you're always dialed into what's going on with the Olympics and the status there. We saw the Olympic jerseys get revealed last night, and we'll break those down at the end of the show. But, of course, the status of the NHL, even participating in the Olympics, is still a topic of contention. First, we saw the Senators with a whole bunch of COVID issues. Now the Isles are up to 7 players on their COVID list. What's the status like there? Do you have any indication that maybe this could be a no-go?
With the Islanders? No, I mean, the indication was as of yesterday, as we talked about in insider trading, was that game was set to go for tonight. Now, there could be additional positive test results, and if that's the case, then that's out of the hands of the National Hockey League. There weren't yesterday, even though Zdeno Chara was added to the list on Monday. And I know there's a lot of backlash, you know, from Islanders fans saying, well, wait a second, you know, the Ottawa Senators were granted the reprieve. Why isn't that the case with the New York Islanders? And it has to be based on case by case, but the number of cases overall, I think at one point Ottawa had as many as 10 players on the sideline, and their American League team was being decimated by numbers, you know, not by cases, but by numbers because of the players who had to be called up to the NHL level. It's not like the NHL is doing the Islanders a disservice here. They're trying to get a schedule played, an 82-game schedule, and there isn't enough wiggle room in that schedule allowance to just say, okay, we'll take the next 3 games off. But if forced to, or if the medical powers that navigate the NHL and the Players Association move forward and say, look, here's our concern. Our concern is that this virus isn't being contained, obviously, within the Isles organization. We need to shut them down for, you know, a 3, a 5, a 7-game period. Then that's the direction the NHL is going to have to go in.
Dregs, I know that, you know, we discussed a little bit earlier about how the Olympics, there could be some doubt starting to creep in, especially after the Sens and now the Islanders, like you say. If the NHL had to pick one between the two, whether or not you send the players to the Olympics, or you go through with an all-star game, which one do you think the league is more likely to cancel here?
Well, they've committed to going to the Olympics with the Players Association, and both are very important. But at least from my perspective, the all-star in Vegas, I mean, that is a corporate boondoggle. It's important to the NHL and the players because it allows them to showcase. ESPN is probably pushing. You know, they're back in the game, so they want to be part of what is normally a fun spectacle from a hockey standpoint. You've got corporate sponsors that need to be recognized. So it is an important weekend to the National Hockey League, but it sure feels like the global importance is more significant at the Olympic level. The fact that they're having both is bizarre. And Pierre LeBrun talked about this last night on Insider Trading. Historically speaking, when you're going to the Olympics, you don't have the All-Star weekend because it just condenses the schedule. And given the fight against COVID-19, and Pierre talked about this too, it is surprising that the NHL and the Players Association are just happily going into Vegas and willing to have the type of weekend that they normally would have. So they're poking the bear there. Are they taking an unnecessary COVID-19, a pandemic risk? It feels like they are, but obviously the NHL and the Players Association believes in their protocols and the restrictions around that weekend. They don't feel that it's an insurmountable or too risky of an opportunity. But, I mean, if you had to choose one, I feel like they'd have to choose contractually the Olympics.
That's interesting. And to me, when I look at the All-Star game and how, I know yesterday in Insider Trading you said how it could potentially pose a threat because a lot of these players will be going straight from Vegas, the All-Star game, over to China. And potentially, if they test positive there, that would put a real damper on their Olympic journey. Do you think we could see a point here where maybe athletes maybe opt for that one-game suspension and try to avoid Vegas entirely? So that they can go to the Olympics?
That's interesting. I mean, it is certainly, there's potential of that. Because, look, the majority of the players, if not all of the players, who are named to their respective Olympic teams are going to be very proud of that, and they are not going to want to jeopardize their opportunity to represent their country. Look, if the players weren't fully committed to playing on the Olympic stage, then the NHL wouldn't be going to China. That's just plain and simple. This is because the push of young NHL stars wants to be on that Olympic platform. That's just the reality of the situation. Look, the executives of the Players Association were concerned, probably still have their concerns about the Olympics. Owners of the National Hockey League, the commissioner's office of the National Hockey League would have preferred not to interrupt the regular season schedule. So, yeah, I could see some players saying, look, as much as I appreciate and feel some honor in being named to the All-Star weekend, I'm going to be real careful with that. And look, it's something we need to follow up on, Mike. It's a good point because maybe the NHL says we're not going to suspend this year and this year only, just giving the players that personal choice if they have any concerns whatsoever.
Yeah, I'd imagine ESPN and whoever's covering it would have a little bit of an issue with the stars not being there.
Yeah, for sure.
TSN Hockey Insider Darren Dreger on the phone right now. Dregs, the American Thanksgiving benchmark is tomorrow, and that's usually when the hockey world decides what they're really looking at in terms of teams. Is there a team that's currently off to a slow start and is out of a playoff spot that you think could maybe turn this around and claw back into contention by season's end?
Yeah, Colorado.
Right.
And, you know, they are on the outside looking in, even on the wild card format. That is such an interesting division. You know, we see the Calgary Flames leading the Pacific as an example. Are they going to be able to hold on to that? Minnesota leads the Central, and at the end of the year, I'd be surprised if Colorado isn't leading the Central Division. You know, they're going to get McKinnon back. When they get back to full health, they've already turned the corner now, right? Like, Nazem Kadri is a good story. They're on a streak. Yeah, they're playing good hockey right now. So when they get healthy and they start to find their drive again, I think that, you know, they're going to be formidable in the Western Conference, and I do see them atop the Central. And that's saying a lot when you look at some of the teams in that division, with St. Louis off to a good year, you know, a lot of people talking about the Winnipeg Jets, but for me, in terms of those teams on the outside looking in, it's Colorado.
Yeah, I think Colorado, they've definitely turned a page. And Nazem Kadri, the way that he's filled in for McKinnon, the way that that team is rolling, I'm with you. I mean, I picked them, I think, as my Stanley Cup winner at the beginning of the year. So
did I. And they excited us both at
first. Yeah, but here they are. They're turning it around, and they're playing some good hockey right now. Another team playing some good hockey, you mentioned it a moment ago, the Calgary Flames, winners of four straight, 6-2-2 in their last 10. I saw they have, like, seven shutouts through the first 20 games in the NHL, which is just incredible to think about. In your mind, is Daryl Sutter the head frontrunner for Coach of the Year?
Well, he's got to be in that conversation, and maybe he is the leading candidate, with honorable mention to some of the others. I mean, Dallas Eakins has done a good job in Anaheim. Rod Brind'Amour is probably going to be, you know, just a perennial favorite, isn't he? As long as the Carolina Hurricanes continue to do what they do. You know, Florida, tough situation there with Joel Quenneville pushed aside. I mean, effectively, he resigned amid scandal, and you've got Andrew Burnett now at the helm, and it doesn't look like the Florida Panthers have missed a beat. But Daryl Sutter, man, to come in there and do what Daryl does, which is just, you know, I identify the strengths of individual players. He doesn't overwhelm his group with structure and systems and all that. You have to play a certain way. There are responsibilities that you absolutely have to employ in your game, but there's also a freedom and some flexibility in how Daryl respects the individual talent of his players. So you look at all the bounce backs that we're seeing in Calgary. You know, starting up front, you've got Johnny Gaudreau's playing really, really well. Lindholm, that line has been lights out good. Matthew Tkachuk seems to have his spark. Mangiapane, I mean, he's an incredible story. So that's looking up front. Defensively, they're strong. And again, when you look at bounce backs, Jacob Markstrom is having an unbelievable year at this point for the Flames, with, you know, honorable mention going to Vladar, who was picked up in the Boston Bruins for a third-round draft pick. I mean, they've got a great tandem. So good coaching always starts with terrific goaltending, doesn't it? Because good goaltending can mask a lot of problems. But Daryl Sutter would be high on my list for sure.
Before we let you go, Dregs, you've got a pretty great Movember muzz going. And Austin Matthews is shaving his. Is yours going at the end of the month, too? And as a bonus question, whose do you think is better? I think I like your handlebar kind of thing you got. Or is it a Fu Manchu? I'm not very good with facial hair names.
That is a handlebar. It is. And look, I was a little skeptical about two things, whether I should go with a handlebar and whether it would even grow into looking like a handlebar, because I'm not somebody who has had a whole lot of experience with facial hair, you know, because I couldn't grow a beard if my life depended on it. So look, I'll be happy to shave it off because I'm not used to it. It's itchy and it's a bit of a pain every day having to mess around with it. But I am very jealous of Austin Matthews in every sense of that word. Not because of his mustache. I mean, but you know, in comparison to me, he's a boy. However, he has raised an incredible amount of money. Like, what is it, 135 plus thousand and counting?
Well, he was 134, and he said he'd shave it, and he reached that earlier this week. I think over the weekend, and it's still going. There's still, you know, a few days left in November to make even some more loot for Men's Health.
I love that. Good for him. And it's such an important cause, which is why all of us do it. But there is some financial jealousy. I knew I would never get anywhere near that total. Who's kidding who? I'm pushing 3,000, and that's about 1,000 more than I was able to scrape together last year. So I don't like my chances of drawing another $130,000+ in less than a week here, but I'm happy with what we've raised so far.
Well, go donate to Dregs in his Movember page. Awesome. Go donate. Every dollar counts. That's something that we all do know. So appreciate you taking part and raising any amount of money, Dregs. It's a noble thing to grow out a mustache the month of November and raise money for a good cause. Dregs, once again, as always, thank you so much for joining us today.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
All right, take care. Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider, there.